In the midst of our housing and homelessness crisis, it's hard to imagine a city where two-thirds of its citizens, including the better off, live in public housing with secure tenure, close to essential amenities, spending around a fifth of their income on rent, and walking to work or commuting on public transport. It might sound like utopia, but according to an exhibition opening this month, it is in fact the story of the city of Vienna. The Austrian capital is consistently voted one of the best cities in the world in which to live, and on the evidence of its housing policies, it's not hard to see why. The Vienna Model, Housing for the 21st Century, is an exhibition opening in Dublin this month, which explains how they've done it and what it means for the Viennese. To tell us more, we're joined here in the studio by Austrian-based architect Mark Gilbert and by Dr. Dahi Downey, Head of Housing and Policy Research with Dublin City Council. You're both very welcome and thank you for coming in to talk to us this morning. Mark, perhaps I can come first to you because you have a particular familiarity with the way they do things in Vienna. This system that they have in place, what does it mean, for example, for somebody on an average income who's looking at housing options? What's available to them?
Well, there's the first issue is security. You know that you can get good housing at a good price and that you'll have a security of tenancy. And that means you can plan your life. One of the great anxieties that we have today in society is the fear or the worry about, you know, what the future looks like. And if you've got good housing at a good price with secure tenancy, you're taking one of the biggest sort of anxiety-producing issues out of the lives of people. You can plan your life. You know where you're going to be or where you could be in years. It's a real, it makes the deal a lot easier
to
make.
Yeah. And you start from a position in Vienna where 80% of people rent anyway.
Yes.
So that, if you like, is the way housing is dealt with for most people.
And yes, it is.
That's a long tradition. So what about the involvement then of the local authority, of public bodies in providing that rental accommodation?
Well, they're very active. You have a subsidy. It's actually generally private actors, but they're subsidized by the city. So they're giving, first case, land at affordable prices from the city, go to the developers who are working in subsidized housing, and then they also give subsidized loans. So there's a certain amount of financial security for the developer as well. You can plan ahead. You'll know what the conditions are going to be in developing a project, and you can move ahead with much more security.
So the funding comes, if you like, from the public side, but the actual building is done by private developers.
Yes,
but
it is.
It can't be described, as the phrase is often used here, as in any way developer-led. It's the local authority that very much drives it. Is that right? This is where you'll build.
It's a dialogue.
This is what we want.
It's a dialogue between the two of them. And that's important. I think that the private actors have a real say in how it works. There's a real dialogue between politics and the actors, be the, you know, from the architectural side, from the development side, from the finance side. And that's really one of the major issues, is that people are talking to each other, listening to each other, understanding the points of view of the different actors and trying to find a way that balances these interests.
And for the most part, or maybe almost entirely, we're talking here about apartment living. And again, that's a long tradition in a city like Vienna,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, this is true. Yes.
So we're buildings which might be four or five stories in height. And when you have that kind of density, if you like, then it becomes much more economic to provide the services that make life so much more enjoyable.
Well, this is very true, but it's not exclusively true. There's also parts of the city which are in lower density, which might be comparable with Dublin. And the same sort of processes are active there. So it's not really only a question of density. Mm-hmm. It's a question of really being committed to this sort of process.
Just one other question before I come to Dahi, and that is in relation to the profile, if I can put it that way, of people who live in public housing.
Yes.
Because it can be people on quite high incomes as well as those on lower incomes.
Well, I think this is one of the real major advantages of the system. You don't have, what you have is sort of this social mix. And so that achieves two goals. One is that there's this sort of relationship between people of different incomes. They live together. You're not defined in the city of Vienna by your address. which is very important. And you also have a lot of different role models. If you're living in an estate, you're seeing how many people are living their lives. It's not really just a sort of monocultural group. It's this very diffuse and diverse society. The second is that it really does help build a political consensus, because people have the feeling that they have a commitment to the system at many different income levels.
Yeah. All right. Dottie, you're in Dublin City Council behind this exhibition, presumably because you feel there are lessons to be learned from the way the Viennese have gone about this. What do you think we could learn from them?
Well, there's many lessons to be learned. We're very grateful to the City of Vienna for supporting the exhibition's arrival in Dublin, and we're working with a number of partners, including the housing agency, on its delivery, so to say that at the outset. I think just from listening to what Mark is saying, the immediate thing that's striking people is this opportunity to live well in a social market for housing, where quality, affordability, security and access to housing are established norms. And this produces a certainty and allows people to thrive. What we're hopeful to bring as a result of the exhibition is an understanding of how the intermediate households who cannot access our social rental model today, and who are finding it incredibly difficult to live well in the private rental model, which is quite expensive, and also have difficulties accessing home ownership, that there are alternatives, and a public rental model could step into that space.
There are a lot of different aspects to what Mark has been describing. First of all, it's been a well-established pattern for a long, long time, and there's a lot of public money behind it. What would be the first steps you think could be taken towards achieving what Mark has outlined there?
Well, I think the developer competition that the Austrian model has, the Viennese model has, is really, really very important. This is where land is established and zoned for public housing, mm-hmm. and how a jury system is established, really, that looks at the four key issues of social sustainability, architecture, ecology and economy, and it assesses housing development proposals against those key dimensions. This brings a big dialogue, as Mark would say, to bear on how we proceed with the housing. But it also allows us to introduce arguments for where subsidy goes. And what we're trying to argue for here is a cost rental approach that allows us to control the cost of development to a point which makes housing affordable for the majority of people, and then allows people to rent publicly for an indefinite duration as long as they choose.
Is there particularly an opportunity just at the moment, because we have now this public land agency which has been charged with identifying land banks, and various public bodies have been instructed to come forward with land that could be made available. Yes. Is this the moment actually where we could seize this opportunity?
I think that's very well put, actually. I think it's very important for all actors to be collaborating on these opportunities. The Land Development Agency has announced very recently its intention to develop a cost rental scheme in South County Dublin, and we need far more of these development proposals to come together. We do need a more coherent system of finance and development to bring forward this. After all, we want to be able to say that Dublin is a great city to live in and to come to live in, mm-hmm. and to continue to live in, and we do have an opportunity to do that.
And it's not just applicable to Dublin, or if it is applicable to Dublin, it's applicable to other cities around the country and maybe large towns and other urban areas as well.
Yes.
But the key thing here, and I don't like to come back to money, but money very often is at the heart of the argument. And I'm looking at the figures. Vienna spends, I'm told, Mark, nearly more than 570 million euro a year on subsidising and constructing and preserving public housing. So it's a big financial commitment of public money.
It is, but actually it's very good value for money. It's very cost effective, and it creates other values, because if you're reducing the costs of housing to people's income, you're allowing aggregate demand to grow in an economy. Other services and other products can be made available. And you know, people are investing in their lives, in their education, in their health, and in the services that they'll consume. So it's very important not to allow our housing costs to get out of line with our incomes.
Yeah, you're nodding there at that, that return, if you like, Mark. Is that something that they try to measure in Vienna?
I can't talk about measuring it, but I can only talk about living it. And I can say, you know, I'm my personal experience is that, you know, I took a risk and started my own company there. And then we're providing jobs now for people, and we're building housing. And this is a step that I could only take when I had a security of tenancy in my apartment that I could plan my life in this
way. And now, in your case, what happens? I mean, if you need to expand, if you need more space, or if you need less space, is that all fairly easily managed, moving from different kinds of accommodation?
Actually, there's not a lot of turnover in public housing in Vienna. I think that it's largely almost like ownership. You do have this sort of level of security of tenancy. However, there are sort of steps in the direction that, you know, what we have is often people, as they get older, the kids move out of the house. They don't need the big apartment anymore. So now they're moving into sort of exchanges and supporting people when they need to move into smaller apartments, to make the larger apartments available for families and to get them into an apartment that fits their present needs.
And just a final question, is there any homelessness problem in Vienna?
Well, I don't think there's any place in the world that's completely freed from that. But if you compare walking the streets in Vienna to Paris or to London or to New York, you'll see the difference immediately.
All right, well, there we leave it. Thank you both very much indeed for coming to speak to us this morning, Mark Gilbert and Dohi Danny.